Hello, hi. My name is Elaine. I am a compulsive overeater, bulimic. I'm lots of different things, but yeah, alcoholic, lots and lots of different things. And the more I hear about it, the more I think, yeah, probably a chaos creator as well. It is lovely to be here. I'm very happy to have been asked. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah,
good. Yeah, very happy to be asked. I don't prepare my chairs. I just turn up because I just turn up and, you know, kind of take a moment to kind of invite my higher power in. Otherwise, I think I can take too much ego into it and when really I just want to be honest and be of service. And during that meditation, it did kind of come to me that, like, oh my God, it's just a bit scary doing the first chair of the new year. I want to be all bells and whistles, and you know, I'm not, you know. I guess, like, I don't know if other people had this, but I thought I was going to wake up in 2021 and everything would just be better because 2020 was finished. But yes, not the case. But yes, it's very good to be here and to have the opportunity to do this chair. Yeah, so the first thing I'll say is that I came into my primary fellowship in 2009. I'm 11 years sober, which is amazing. But I found that in my primary fellowship, a lot of the time the message I got was, or the message I heard, I'm not saying that people said this to me, but I heard was, as long as you're not drinking, everything else is fine. And I really did take advantage of that sentiment. And I didn't drink, I didn't take drugs, but I just absolutely abused a lot of other things, as in abused food or abused, created chaos with timekeeping or people or relationships or whatever. There's any number of things that if I want, I can use upon. And what I love about BBA, well, there's a lot of things I love about BBA, but one thing in particular is that it really kind of targets that, it can help, really, if somebody is a dry drunk. If somebody's just starting out, obviously brilliant, that's, you know, it can help. But, you know, in my experience, it's also very helpful for people who have been around and maybe have years in programs, but it's just targeting things. It's just basically boiling it down to the main thing of what's my relationship with my higher power, and am I turning everything over to my higher power? And when I did my step three in BBA, it was my first time in BBA to do it, but I did it maybe four or five other times in different programs. It was the first time that I did step three and I included everything within that step three. You know, it's the first time that I was like, listen, I hand over my career, I hand over everything. It was the first time that I realized that. Now, a little disclaimer, I have in the meantime taken back one aspect of my life. I've taken back romance. I need to hand that back to my higher power. It will be dishonest of me to sit here and say, yes, I did my step three, I handed everything over to my higher power, and it has stayed with my higher power. I have taken that aspect back, and I know that's my next area for development, is to completely hand that over. But all I can do today is, you know, the important thing is just being honest about where I'm at. So yes, I have always been, I've always gotten a lot from doing step fours. I'm somebody who in the past I've delayed a lot in regards to doing my step four. And what I loved about BBA is that there's a timeline you're kind of working against. In every other time I worked the steps, it was kind of something I was working out between me and my sponsor. But with BBA, there was a clear expectation of this needs to be done, you know? And I was very grateful for the sponsor that I was working with. Like it just was not an option for me to just to coast on this one. I'm somebody that the first time I did step four, I spent 2 years on it. And that was not because I was doing it very thoroughly, but it was because I don't know, I must have loved prolonging the pain. I must have loved putting off the miracle. In hindsight, I look back on that and I just think that's insanity. Why that was so dangerous, you know, because whilst I'm doing step four, that 2 years, that's just 2 years where I could potentially relapse at any point because I'm just carrying around decades of crap with me, you know. So it's, it was... Gradually, I've gotten quicker at the process, but I knew that with BBA, there was going to be no messing about. And my sponsor made a very helpful suggestion. Before, because I'm an addict, I'm kind of all or nothing, binge or purge. I was also like that with my step work. So instead of like doing a little bit every day, I would think to myself, okay, I'm going to do 4 hours today. I don't think it's possible or helpful to spend 4 hours on my step work in any one chunk of time. My sponsor recommended to me doing like 15 minutes every single morning as part of my routine. And by doing that 15 minutes, it all got done and was a lot less painful than it has been before. And column one and column two. So column one is... We make a list. We list the people, institutions, and principles with which whom we were angry. Pray and write down every name that comes to you and that needs to be on this list. Don't worry about why you are angry till the next column. Don't go on till the list is finished. You will know when the list is done. Okay, so what I like about this is it's not just people. It's looking at institutions and principles. There were, you know, huge things that I got caught up on that weren't people. They were ideals that I was brought up with. There were things that I've inherited, beliefs that were introduced to me at such a young age that they're almost part of me, but they were almost part of me, but I didn't want them, and I just wanted to get rid of them, and I resented them deeply. I think it's important to, we all have conditioning that we've been subjected to without kind of even knowing it. And I think step four is a really good time to look at that. But on top of it, I also like the fact that it says, you know, we say our third step prayer morning and night. We ask for help. And we kind of do a little meditative process beforehand. And I used to really enjoy that, sitting down, maybe getting some incense, just making a thing of inviting my higher power in and saying, who needs to be on this list? What needs to be on this list? And I found, like, I just wrote whatever came to me. I just wrote whatever came to me. And, you know, when it came down to it, you know, my list probably was longer than it needed to be, but in my eyes, it's better, as far as I'm concerned, it's better to have somebody down on the list and then to take it off rather than to miss something, you know? And it was quite a large list, but what my sponsor was able to help me to do was to chunk similar resentments together. And what became evident when we did go through the resentments is that there was a lot of repeating patterns. And it has been my experience that the same, anything I've tried to avoid through my addiction, I have not being successfully able to avoid. He has always found me, you know. So say, for instance, you know, I tried to avoid, like, heartbreak for years instead of, like, you know, I just move on from one to the next. And I thought that I was getting away with something. But really, all I was doing was postponing it. It's been my experience that everything I try to avoid feeling, sooner or later, I have to feel it, you know. And the same people, the same personalities, the same situations get sent to me, but in different guises, until I learn to deal with them in a recovered way. That has been my experience. And because of this, it did make chunking quite a few of them together possible. Column 2, made another list, like the example below. And beside each name, we list every resentment we have towards each name in the first list. And it says, be as specific and brief as possible. That's a golden instruction for me. For me, that is so important, because I just want to say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, you know, I just want to get my 2 cents in. I want to be able to say, yeah, but I did this because they did that to me. And, you know, it doesn't help me to get caught up in the story again. It doesn't help me to get caught up in why I did something. But it does help me to be, by being specific and brief. So basically, my sponsor put limits on it. She said, you know, there should be no more than 3 sentences, or 3 resentments you list. Or, you know, she gave that as a ballpark figure. And I found, because it was brief, I had to be brief, I had to be specific. I got to the point. I got to the point of what really annoyed me. And I think that's so useful, because I had years of... I can be very good at justifying a resentment. I can be very good at telling a story in such a way that the person I'm telling it to will see my point and will validate what I'm thinking, you know? And I think anything that kind of enables me to be able to share my truth about what I'm angry about, but also to try to take the ego away, it is a good thing. That's just in my opinion. And I think, what I will say is that, you know, so I did my step 4 in BBA, I think it was maybe last May, and May, June, around that time. And I think it was my 5th step 4. And what amazed me is that there was still so much on it. You know, I just thought to myself, God, how am I 10 years in recovery and there's still so much on it? And the reason for that is because, again, it's been my experience that my higher power does not reveal things to me until I'm in a place where I can handle them. Okay, so every time I've done the steps, different things have come up. Sometimes different things have come up about the same situation. I can give examples of this. One very powerful one. I had an auntie, well, I still have an auntie, who I had huge resentments against. Huge resentments against. And when I did my first step 5, I should say, on her, all I could see was her part. I was so angry. All I could see was her part. You know, she's not getting an amends from me. I owe her nothing. A few years later, I did my second step four. It was in OA this time. And all I was able to see was my part. And I honestly was just like, I can't believe this woman still talks to me. I can't believe she even acknowledges me. I was able to see my part, and my part was significant and her part wasn't. I was able to see it right-sized, you know. And every time I've done the steps, you know, or done, that woman isn't even on my resentments list. She's on my amends list, and I am making living amends, and I will be forevermore. I'll be working on that relationship. But I have not one single resentment towards her. All I have is love towards her, you know, and that's because of the program. Another one that I'll mention is I had one towards a boyfriend that over time, actually more has been an ex-boyfriend has been revealed about that relationship. There was things that I couldn't acknowledge 10 years ago, 11 years ago. I think we had very, as a society, we had very different conversations around consent back then. And there's things that now I realize weren't okay. So actually, there's, you know, my resentment when it got to my step five this time was huge. But because I was finally able to understand events that had happened in a deeper way, you know, which has been painful, but is also, you know, I have to acknowledge it to be able to get over it, you know, like I can't pretend that it's not there. I can't ignore it. I have to, be able to go through it, and the program has helped. You know, I've been able to address that person in the amends process. More needs to be revealed on that. I trust that my higher power will guide me even further on what I need to do with that. But I guess the reason I bring these examples up are just to say that it is a continuous process. It's you know, it's not a thing of, oh, I'll do my step four once and then that's done. You know, things change, and the past for me is not a set thing. It changes because I change. It changes because I'm able to see other people's point of view more. It changes because I allow my higher power in. Changes for a number of reasons, but it's a hugely powerful step. And you know, my big take home message for step four would be to just do it. To just do it, you know, to do it to the best of our ability, and know that if as long as we're doing our best, as long as we're really trying, then it's okay. And if something gets left off by accident, you know, we can at any point add it on. We can at any point call up our sponsor, call up a fellow, and add it on, you know. And if it's something we don't catch this time around, maybe it means that I'm not ready to see it and that I'll get it the next time, the next time, the next time. This is a process that I have really grown to love. I think we are so lucky in recovery to have this, because people, I don't know what people who are in recovery do with their resentments. I don't know. And I think it's a very healthy thing to be able to do, to get a, you know, pen and paper and write out our resentments, talk it through with someone who's not connected to this, and just move into the sunlight of the spirit through letting it go. I think, did you say it's 20 minutes, Darren?
Yeah, you're in the last minute, so it's great timing. If you want to just wrap it up for 30 seconds, that's great, Elaine. Thank you.
Yeah, lovely. So, I'll just finish. I was timing myself, so yeah, just to make sure. I'll just finish by saying that, I do honestly love Step 4, and it's something that even, we can do at any point. If I have a resentment that's still popping up after my nightly Step 10s, I can, I can always do a big chunky Step 4, share it with my sponsor, share it with a fellow, and it just reveals a lot to me. So it's a very useful tool. I leave it there. Thank you.